WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Well, you just heard it in the news. A new jobs report released this morning, and it shows disappointing growth. Analysts, investors, government officials, and regular folks hoping for stronger news have had their expectations tempered, to say the least, this week. And it's not just today's jobs report. On Tuesday, housing numbers showed home prices in major areas have fallen significantly. And on Wednesday, a jobs report by the payroll giant ADP got everyone worried. It showed an increase of 38,000 jobs, far less than the 175,000 expected. And then today, Friday, this jobs report. Heidi Moore is New York Bureau Chief for Marketplace, and Peter Coy is Economics Editor at Bloomberg Business Week. Heidi and Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Well, I guess, Peter, I'll start with you. Did I miss anything in my rundown of the gloomy economic news from this week?
Now, you'd have to spend half an hour giving all the gloomy news of the past economic week. One thing you didn't mention is factory news was quite bad, too. The Institute for Supply Management, their index of factory output fell by the most in point terms since 1984, and in percentage terms by the most since 2001, right after the attack on the World Trade Center. But the big news is really this jobs report today. This is the one that everybody watches. The expectation had been 165,000 jobs being created. This was below the bottom estimate. Bloomberg does a survey every month. And the very lowest anyone out of the 89 economists in it, the lowest anyone had was 65,000. This came in at 54,000.
Okay. So the numbers, give us that number spread again, because my numbers were slightly different. What were
right.
the Bloomberg
so
estimates?
The median forecast we had was 165,000, but that it ranged from a low of 65, the greatest pessimism, on up to the optimist at 250. And what we actually came out with was 54,000.
Wow.
So just really, as one of the economists said, you can't put lipstick on this pig.
All right. Now, Heidi Moore, the jobs report came out just about an hour ago, and I'm assuming you, too, have been glued to your computer screen doing nothing but crunching numbers since then. What's your headline?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the headline here is that the administration really wants to forget that any of this is happening right now. So Austin Goolsbee actually said the administration stresses that you should not put too much faith into any one report. And so they're just hoping it goes away, which actually it may happen. We may just be having a short slowdown that is occurring for a few months, and it'll pick back up in the fall. The economic news does not look encouraging, but that doesn't mean it's a permanent situation. And I think we should stay focused on that part as well.
Well, but isn't this the fourth or even perhaps the fifth gloomy report in a row, Heidi?
Yes. It is, actually. I think it's about the third or the fourth. And it does show that things have been slowing down this year. But as we saw last year, things can slow down for a few months and then pick up suddenly. So what we really want to look at over the next few months is jobs, of course. They might, pick up in the fall, probably not over the summer, but in the fall. You want to take a look at things like, housing. Housing is soft right now. That might pick up later if things change in the economy. But nothing is really cast in stone. It's a weird, volatile economy we're in right now. It's very hard to read, and it doesn't mean that it's always going to be this way just because it's this way now. The key is we have to find a way out.
All right. We want to invite our listeners who may have questions about the jobs report for Heidi Moore or Peter Coy to give us a call. And in particular, one number we are going to discuss is the increasing rate of long-term unemployment. So if you've been unemployed for 6 or more months, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can post a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And, you know, anyone else reminded of 2010 when we came out, and Heidi, this picks up on the question that I just asked you, when we came out of the winter with significant growth and the talk of big recovery, and then we hit this roadblock in early summer. I mean, I guess this touches on the point that you're making.
Right, exactly. Things can be flexible. We are facing tremendous challenges this summer. There's no question about it. There's the issue about the budget deficit, of course, the debt ceiling debate, which may affect how the U.S. is able to finance itself. You know, we are facing big issues right now, and we're not seeing a pickup in hiring, and we're almost out of stimulus for that. So if somehow this logjam that we're in, if we can find a way out of it, then we'll see some improvement. But if it continues, I mean, we can stagnate. You know, the key is how innovative are our policymakers, how motivated are companies to actually start hiring and not hoarding as much money as they've been. That's the key question. Well, what will push companies?
Well, Peter Coy, economics editor at Bloomberg Businessweek, the unemployment rate remained virtually the same, 9.1%. Is 9 somehow a magic number? Where should it be in order to sustain significant growth?
Well, I have an article in the new issue of Bloomberg Businessweek called The U.S. Economy's You First Problem, and it gets into the stuff that Heidi's talking about. It says there's a stalemate, and we have remember the old Alphonse and Gaston routine where they each one was excessively polite and would try to have the other one go through the door first, and they were so polite that they never got through the door. Well, economists call that a coordination failure, and I think that's what we're seeing now. Because the employment is so weak, people don't want to spend. Because people don't want to spend, companies don't want to produce and hire. You can see how this can perpetuate itself, and we need to get out of it somehow. But right now, it seems that the recovery that a lot of companies had been banking on is weakened. They're going to be cutting back their hiring and capital spending plans. You see how it feeds on itself. Mm-hmm. It's something it's a dangerous situation. I think people are focusing on the debt, which, of course, is a huge long-term problem. But we have a really short-term urgent problem to deal with, and that's finding a way out of this jobs crisis.
Well, the average duration of unemployment actually rose to 39.7 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's the highest rate yet. What does that tell us, Peter Coy?
It tells us that people who do have jobs are keeping them. And this is another part of the article I wrote. What you're seeing is stasis. You're seeing companies sitting on their hands. The actual rate of firing is not that high. The problem is if you're out of the job market, you have a lot of trouble getting back in. And I can just tell you anecdotally that there are companies out there that don't even look at unemployed people when it comes to making hiring decisions. They only recruit from people who already have jobs. Imagine how frustrating that is for somebody who's out of work, searching diligently, has skills to offer, and isn't even being considered by employers.
Let's talk, and Heidi, I'm going to jump over to you about some specifics. What about the effect of gas prices on all that we've been talking about thus far?
Yeah, this is one of the biggest issues that policymakers and the Federal Reserve are dealing with, which is that we are seeing more and more inflation in things like gas prices and food prices. Those prices are rising, but we're not seeing wages rising. So as we're going about our everyday lives, no one is getting paid more. There are a lot of people out of work, and yet it costs more just to meet the basic necessities of life, of transportation, you know, of getting to work. And that's a big problem, because usually the only thing that really counts as inflation that of the kind that will panic the Fed is to see wages go up at the same time that you see gas prices go up. We're not seeing that, so all we're seeing is a squeeze on people's incomes, and that's really tough.
And what about the possible effect of something like the tsunami in Japan. Could that have an effect on slowing things down here, manufacturing crippled there?
I can jump in on
Please
that
do,
one.
Peter.
Yeah, the answer is yes. In fact, several economists have pointed out that there were interruptions to supply chains. Companies could not get components that they needed to produce whatever they're producing. They had to maybe cut back on overtime, reduce shifts. Not the biggest factor for sure, but that plus expensive oil and is just the kind of thing that adds to the slowness we're already suffering from.
Let's take a call from Vincent. He's calling from Warren, New Jersey. Vincent, you're on WNYC with Peter Coy and Heidi Moore.
Hi, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, I am just curious. I mean, there is so much talk about unemployment, and you have all these corporations, American corporations, being allowed and sometimes even encouraged to send hundreds of jobs overseas to save them billions of dollars because they're paying these people nothing compared to American salaries. I mean, I understand profit is profit, but if you would bring all these jobs or mandate that American companies keep these jobs here, you would see that the unemployment numbers drop. It is not fair. These people make money hand over fist on the backs of the American people, and it's horrible. And comments about the commodities shouldn't be allowed to be traded. Things that are essential to life should not be allowed traded on the markets.
All right,
these people just speculating on everything and raising the prices and it's ridiculous.
All right, Vincent raises 2 points, and the first point, let me toss to Heidi. It's a frequent comment that we get when we do a job segment, Heidi. Jobs going overseas.
Yeah, it's a real problem. It really is. And it's been happening over the past decade and even more. And this is what we were talking about, what Peter mentioned as well. We need to have policymakers in this debate as much as corporations. You know, how do we incent or how do we keep corporations happy in the jobs that they can create here in the U.S.? That's a problem we haven't been able to solve if indeed we've paid any attention to it over the past decade. And so it's going to persist as long as it's ignored.
And then, Peter, the second issue that Vincent raised, it's almost an entirely different segment, but perhaps you could briefly address the effect of commodities trading on the economics of our current economic system.
Right. I tend to sympathize with his first point a little bit more than the second point. On the second point, commodity prices are affected by speculators in the short term, maybe even the medium term. But in the long term, no speculator can prop up a price above where the market wants to take it. That just he or she gets overwhelmed by everyone betting the other way, and so all you can do is like make a quick profit if you manage to corner the market in something like oil is too big to really corner the market in. So it's not sort of evil manipulators who are doing this. What it is people who are really uncertain about what the demand for oil is going to be and what the supply of oil is going to be. The fact is, we are, as a planet, eventually going to run short on oil. So the fact that it's high price is not even an entirely bad thing because it gives us the incentives to do the right thing, move away from oil towards other fuels.
I thank Vincent for the call and for the suggestion of I think, what could be a very meaty segment. And we'll call on both of you again when we do that segment. Let's return to the question of jobs. And we have Nicole calling in from Stamford, Connecticut. Nicole, you're on WNYC.
Thank you. Yes, I've been out of work for 7 months now, and I'm in the investment area. And it's been extremely frustrating because it does seem like employers are very reluctant to hire unless they really feel it's the exact fit that they're looking for. So unless you really market yourself to make sure that you fit that mold, it's extremely difficult. And I think what you said earlier about employers looking at currently employed people and glancing over those that are unemployed, I think that is quite true. So I just found it difficult. I have all the designations and I have all the qualifications, and it's just been really, has been frustrating. So it's good to be able to call and vent about it a bit, but hopefully something will come through.
Thank you so much, Nicole, for sharing and for calling into WMYC. Michelle is calling from Astoria, and I believe she shares your situation. Michelle, thank you for calling in.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Please go ahead.
So my mom has been unemployed for over 2 years now. And my question has been, why hasn't more attention been paid to people who have been so long unemployed that they've given up looking for jobs or they don't qualify for unemployment any longer? Because I feel like that's also a chronic problem that doesn't get as much attention as just the unemployment numbers do.
Yes. In fact, we talked about that a bit earlier, that the duration of unemployment has risen. I mentioned it just a bit ago, to 39.7 weeks. And I want to come to you on this, Heidi. It was actually part of the news this week that people are actually just giving up on looking for work, which affects the statistics on exactly what the unemployment numbers are. What about Michelle's question? And Michelle, I thank you very much, and good luck to your mom in looking for work. But why does that not get more attention, the numbers of people who are just giving up on searching for work at all?
Yeah, that's been a continuing and a very sad trend for, you know, well over a year now. More people are just dropping out. There are very few options for them. And the question is, what can we do to get them back to work? During the Depression, the answer was something like a public works program, you know, where you could put entire swaths of people to learn new skills. People have suggested that perhaps something like that might be the spur that we need. Perhaps something like creating new programs in infrastructure would certainly help construction jobs. But there are a lot of people who aren't construction workers, and there have been suggestions that perhaps we could focus more on the healthcare industry, train a lot more people to work in healthcare and around healthcare. But that, again, is probably a policy issue because there has to be money coming into it. Right now, there doesn't seem to be the capacity for that kind of hiring.
And Peter Coy, what is the big picture here? Is this just slower than expected growth, or do we need to begin to be worried about the double dip, as it's known, or dare I say a triple dip, or however many dips we're at right now?
Yeah, that's the concern. Whether we go into an outright decline in the economy, that would be a double dip, true double dip, is, I'd say, still unlikely. But it's almost as bad to have a period of extremely slow growth. We had 1.8% annualized growth in the first quarter, and people were saying, don't worry, that's temporary. The second quarter is going to be 3.5% or more percent. Now they're rapidly revising downward to the point where many people are saying only 2% for the second quarter, just about as bad as the first quarter. This is less than the economy needs to ever reduce unemployment. You know, getting back to the previous caller and her point about her mom being discouraged, we talk about the 9.1% unemployment rate, but the government actually keeps six different measures of unemployment. And the broadest one, which includes people who are kind of marginally attached to the labor force, they would like a job, but they're not actively looking for it, that's 15.8%.
I hate to end a segment without some good news.
Oh.
can either of you offer any before we move
on?
One
bright spot, average hourly earnings did go up a bit, which goes back to the point that if you are working, things really aren't so bad these days. The problem is the people who are frozen out.
All right. Well, at least there is a little bit of a silver lining to that cloud, and we'll continue to hope for additional good news as we keep our eye on the job numbers. And I want to thank you both so much for being with us today. Peter Coy, economics editor for Bloomberg Business Week. Heidi Moore, New York editor for Marketplace. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, WNYC.org. Up next, what happened at last night's hearing over the future of the Indian Point nuclear facility? Our own Bob Henley will break it all down.